And now, live from Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is the WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari.
Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you escape.
It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Countdown for blastoff. X minus one.
Richard Diamond, private detective.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. All right, it is Sunday morning. It's 12:07. Thank you, David Jennings. And welcome, everyone, to the WGN Radio Theater Program 125 in the series. To my right, the vivacious Lisa Wolf. She's in her Cub jersey over here.
Why not?
Yeah.
Let's have a little Chicago spirit here,
all
guys.
All right. And then Elif Garris, our producer, is in the booth. Hi, Elif. How are you?
Hi, Carl and Lisa. I'm good. How are you?
We're good. And, well, I could be better if the Cubs would have won.
I know.
Tonight.
Yeah,
they'll
tonight.
They'll win tonight.
They'll win tonight. That's right. So I'm kind of depressed. So we're going to start things off with a comedy. That'll get me back in the spirit of things. Ozzie and Harriet, they're going to visit a haunted house from 1948. Then a good mystery on the mysterious traveler from 1950. All of this brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor will reprise his role as Dracula in the upcoming comedy Hotel Transylvania 3, about a billionaire who threatens to destroy the hotel and replace it with his own island resort. And if you win, you will get two tickets to see Tony and Tina's wedding, and our own Brian Noonan of WGN will be playing Vinny in that show, so we're thrilled
to... Hey, Vinny, what's up?
Vinny, not that Vinny, different Vinny. Not Vinny Barbarino.
All right, so the number to call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. He was the star of Don't Mess with the Zohan.
Smell it, smell it, smell it. Now take it. That's for you.
All right, there you go. Call us, 312-981-7200. If you know that actor comedian, we'll find our winner after this break.
Welcome back. This is the WGN Radio Theater. We got a little bit of a late start, but we'll be on till 2 a.m. We are playing Celebrity Scoop, and let's play it again.
Smell it, smell it, smell it. Now take it. That's for you.
We've got Catherine on the line from Chicago. Hi, Catherine.
Hi.
How are you?
Oh, like better if the Cubs would have won. But...
I know. We're all in the same boat here. tell me who's going to be in Hotel Transylvania 3 as Dracula.
I believe that's Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler is right. Catherine, you have won two tickets to see Tony and Tina's wedding. It's playing in Chicago right now through about mid-January. And the audience doesn't just watch, but they get to participate in the whole play. Our own Brian Noonan will be Vinny. And you can get tickets at TonyLovesTina.com. Of course, you get two free tickets for getting that right answer. And we so appreciate your call.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Excellent.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. Thanks, Catherine.
Enjoy it. All right. It's time for Ozzie and Harriet, something that I promise you'll enjoy. I love Ozzie and Harriet. You know, it's weird. They were on the air for a long time, and they were also on television for a long time, but there's only about 20 or so radio episodes that ever survived. There's tons of the TV shows that we have, but it's very few of the radio shows. And this one's a great one because they visit a haunted house from October 31st, 1948. So let's tune in part one now of The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet.
Did you know, Harriet, that there are over 320,000 men in the National Guard today?
No, I didn't.
And did you know that every member of the Guard reports for training with his unit at least once a week and receives pay for it?
No, I didn't.
And that they now have an aviation branch called the Air National Guard?
Did you know that dinner is ready and it's time to go to work with our 1847 Rogers Brothers silver plate?
No, I didn't.
And that America's finest silver plate is 1847 Rogers Brothers?
That I did. America's finest silver plate is 1847 Rogers Brothers.
From Hollywood, International Silver Company, creators of 1847 Rogers Brothers Silver Plate, presents The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, starring America's favorite young couple, Ozzie Nelson and Harriet Hilliard.
There's excitement in the air. A mysterious change has taken place in the vicinity of 1847 Rogers Road. Remember the friendly old elm tree in front of the house? Well, it doesn't look friendly anymore. The full moon shining through it, and on one of the bare branches, there's a big black owl. And the old dependable weather vane on top of the garage. Gee, it looks different now. I'm not sure if it's a weather vane or not, the way the shadows fall. Could be a witch on a broomstick. Oh, it's spooky out tonight. In the Nelson kitchen, there's an atmosphere of feverish activity and excited preparations.
What are you looking for, David?
We're trying to find some paper bags, big ones.
Well, look in the bottom drawer there.
There, that's a good one, Ricky.
Yeah, but what do I do with the potatoes? No, not that drawer, Ricky, on the other side.
Hey, what's going on out here?
We're getting some paper bags.
Sound like you were taking the kitchen apart.
It's Halloween, boy. We're going to have fun tonight, Pop.
Yeah, it looks plenty spooky out to me.
What do you have there, dear?
Oh, I was just rummaging around upstairs a bit, and I thought the boys might make a costume out of these old work pants.
Gee, Pop, they're pretty dirty. Not only that, dear, they're covered with paint.
Well, what do you expect, Harriet? I wore them when I painted the breakfast nook.
I think you did a better job on the pants than you did on the breakfast nook.
How about you, Ricky? Would you like to be a painter? Will you get your white cap and stick a couple of brushes in your belt?
Golly, Pop, those pants are pretty big.
Oh, I don't know. Let's see how they look on you. Here, step into them. Put your foot in there. Yeah. Now the other foot. Now pull them up.
Mm. Oh, that's a wonderful costume. The headless painter. Anyhow, Pop, we don't need costumes. We got masks, that's enough.
Well, you suit yourself. We used to wear costumes when I was a kid.
That's just for little kids, Pop. Me and David are going trick-or-treat.
Trick-or-treat?
Sure. We ring a guy's doorbell and say trick-or-treat. If he doesn't give us cookies or something, we let him have it. There you are, dear. That's Halloween, 1948.
Sounds more like Chicago, 1925.
It's a lot of fun, Pop. Didn't you used to do that when you were a kid?
No, David. As I recall, we used to go in more for the real spirit of Halloween. You know, the spooky, scary stuff.
What do you mean, Pop?
Well, I mean we'd find some old haunted house and go prowling around looking for ghosts and stuff.
You sure were brave, Pop.
Oh, well, not necessarily, David.
Pop, did you ever see a ghost?
Oh, I won't say I saw a ghost, but I will say I saw something.
A spook?
I don't know. It was white and shimmering, indistinct. It wavered back and forth. Sometimes it was there, sometimes it wasn't there. White and shimmering.
Do they have television sets then, Pop?
No, Ricky, this was right out in the center of the living room. I'm afraid Halloween's different nowadays. All the wonderful, spooky, hobgoblin atmosphere, that's all changed now. Can't help feeling a little sad when you see the joys of your childhood disappearing in a changing world. Halloween just isn't exciting anymore.
Are you gonna cry, Pop?
No, it's just the memories coming back.
You sure must have had fun, Pop. Do you think there's really such a thing as a ghost? A real ghost, I mean?
Oh, I don't know. In a spooky old house with the moon shining through the broken shutters, you imagine you see some pretty strange things.
I'd sure like to see a ghost. Boy, would I run.
Well, there's the old McAdams house up on the hill. That's a pretty spooky-looking place. I wouldn't be at all surprised if there were a ghost or two lurking around in there.
Do you think we could see one if we went up there, Pop?
It's very possible.
Oh, Ozzie. David, your father's just kidding.
Oh, let the boys have a little fun, Harriet. After all, it's Halloween.
Come on, grab the bags, Ricky. We gotta get going.
Hey, wait for me.
Don't you think a lot of the spirit of Halloween has been lost?
Oh, I don't know, dear. The kids seem to have a good time. That's the important thing.
Oh, they pretend to enjoy it, but where's the fun? Trick or treat? Where's the adventure? What danger is there in getting a handful of cookies from Mrs. Dunkel?
You've never eaten Mrs. Dunkel's cookies.
Have we had any callers yet?
Oh, about a dozen of them. You should have seen little Julie Thornberry. She was all dressed up in one of Catherine's old dresses, and she had a stocking on her head.
Really? Oh, I'm sorry I missed it.
And little Georgie Dunkel, he had the cutest clown suit with skeletons sewed on it.
We sure have some cute little kids in this neighborhood.
I'll get it.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me get it. I want to have some fun, too. Yes?
Trick or treat.
Wait a minute. Aren't you a little big to be playing trick or treat?
Trick or treat.
How old are you?
53.
Who ever heard of a grown man playing trick or treat?
Well, my little boy's over on the next block. I'm just helping him out.
You don't even have a costume.
What do you think I am, a child? Come on, trick or treat.
A little unusual. What happens if I don't give you a treat?
Well, I sneak back later and ring your doorbell.
So what?
Then when you answer it, I punch you in the nose. Come on, trick or treat.
This is really funny, but here are some cookies.
Only three?
Well, they've got to go around. There are other children, too, you know.
Okay. Oh, they're chocolate. My kid likes chocolate cookies. Thanks.
Well, that's all right. How old is your little boy?
25.
One of the kids in the neighborhood, one of the older kids.
Say, would you do me a favor if you're not too busy?
Yeah, what is it?
Would you stop down at the store and get some candies or something? The rate we're going to run out of stuff.
Okay. Hey, what are you doing?
Just putting a couple of cookies in your pocket in case you get stopped for trick or treat. Some of the boys get pretty rough.
Oh, Harriet, please. You don't think I'm afraid of a bunch of kids?
Well, suit yourself. Last Halloween, Joe Randolph bumped into the backfield of the high school football team and came home minus his trousers.
No kidding. I understand they have a pretty good team this year.
Why don't you just take these four cookies, just in case?
You better give me two more. The ends might be with them. This is let go, don't tear my pencil. The cookies were in my pocket. They're very nice cookies. Wonderful cookies.
What's this about cookies?
Oh, it's you, Thorne. What a corny trick, hiding behind the head.
Oh, just keeping in the spirit of Halloween. You should see what I did to Dunk a little while ago.
Did you scare him? What did you do?
I sneaked up on his front porch, yeah. Rang the doorbell, and ran like the dickens. He didn't know what to think. Then when he went in the house, I went around to the back and started rattling the back door. Oh, boy, was he scared.
What else did you do, Patty?
Well, I waited a few minutes, then I tapped on the window and moaned like this. Ooh. Then I rattled the door again, and I moaned some more. Then I began pounding on the side of the house.
Yeah. And then what?
Then the police came. Dunkel just has no sense of humor.
Did the police do anything to you?
No, just told me to stop annoying people. They took my soap away, too.
You're just a big kid at heart, aren't you, Thorny?
Well, it's all in fun. What's Halloween nowadays? Nothing happens. My boy Will's out playing trick or treat.
David and Ricky, too. Somehow Halloween sort of lost the old kick.
Yeah, it sure isn't like it was when we were kids.
You know, there was an old haunted house in our town, and every Halloween us kids used to go prowling through it. Really spooky.
Sure, that's the real spirit of Halloween.
Now, you take the old McAdams place up on Franklin Avenue. There's a perfect haunted house. There's some way to sneak in there.
You mean you go in there at night?
Oh, sure, why not?
Oh, no reason. I just never cared for the looks of the place myself. Those grotesque chimneys, staring windows. Sort of gives me the creeps.
Barney, you're kidding.
No, I'm not, Oz. There's something frightening about it. Especially at night.
What an imagination. Well, I've got to get down to the drugstore. I promised Harriet I'd get some candy and stuff.
Okay, Oz. See you later. Say, when you go by the McAdams place, don't let the ghosts get you.
Well, that's right. I go right by there, don't I?
Yes, sir. Not afraid, are you, Oz?
Barney, cut it out. If you walk down the store with me, I'll buy you soda.
Hey, Mom, Pop, we went over to the McAdams place and we saw a ghost.
A real ghost?
A ghost, a real ugly one, with sharp teeth and a long nose and pointed ears and hair all over his face.
And first we thought it was Pop.
That's the nicest thing anybody's ever said about me.
We thought it was you trying to scare us.
Oh, boys, don't be silly.
You guys probably saw the moon shining through the window, and your imagination did the rest.
Okay, go up and see for yourself.
Yeah, why don't you, Pop?
Well, I'd be glad to, except I promised to take your mother to the movies.
Since when?
Well, that is, I've been thinking about it all day. There's a wonderful triple Halloween show at the Bijou. The Son of Frankenstein, Dracula's Daughter, and a date with Judy.
I wasn't counting on the movies, dear. In fact, I'd much rather you'd go up and give us a report on the ghost.
Oh, it's so silly.
Go ahead, Pop. Have some fun.
Go ahead, dear.
Well, okay. If it makes you happy, I'll go up and visit the haunted house.
Attaboy, Pop. Daddy.
I thought for a minute there you were getting scared, Pop.
Oh, David.
Oh, just remember this, boys. There's not a cowardly bone in your father's body. Of course, every now and then the meat around them gets a little jumpy.
Meet a rabbit. What am I laughing at?
That's the first portion of The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet from Halloween 1948. Ozzie and Harriet, good comedy. And they visit a haunted house on this, Lisa, because we're playing Halloween programming this edition of the WGN Radio Theater. And tonight, when we come back here, we're back on the air again at midnight,
You're
not 11.
You're confusing me already.
We're back on the air at 11.
We're coming at 12,
No,
though.
12, that's what I mean. Yeah, gosh.
Well, you know what? It's the same as Saturday night, Sunday night. We're starting at midnight both nights. We're preempted 1 hour.
Yeah.
But next weekend, we will be back to our regular schedule. So we're sorry.
Can you guarantee that, Lisa?
I can't, but I'm pretty darn sure.
Oh, wait. If the Cubs win, we're on at 1. And if they lose, we're on at midnight. Is that the way it works?
Oh, I did not hear that.
Oh,
I just heard midnight.
Gosh.
Well, I'm just going to.
All right. Well, I want them to win. So I guess we'll all be on for 1 hour tomorrow.
Well,
if Lester does his job. All right, let's take a break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. Lisa, if you want to hear the fear, there's only a couple more days to take advantage of our special. You can get 12 episodes of Suspense digitally remastered and digitally downloaded to your computer or any listening device for only $9.99. That's half price, normally $19.99. 12 episodes of Suspense. Also, we have 12 episodes of Inner Sanctum Mysteries, normally $19.99, yours for only $9.99, folks. Or you can get all 24 episodes for the low, low price of $14.99. Just go to our website, which is WGNRadioTheater.com, WGNRadioTheater.com. Hear the fear. Get all 24 episodes just in time for a Halloween-y. Which is, well,
Monday.
Actually, I think
it's Monday, which is like tomorrow.
So, yeah.
Because today is Sunday.
Right. I get so confused.
Yeah.
But I'm easily confused.
I know that. You don't have to tell me that.
Roger is shaking his head.
I look in
yes.
your eyes. I see confusion all of the time.
Very confused. Well, you know, I surround myself with smart people, though. Elif and Roger and Lisa.
I thought you were just going to say Elif and
Roger. Confuse me.
Roger and I are going to match. We have our hats.
Got your cubby hats.
Well,
we have to win because if not, it's going to be a long
71
drive home
years.
Tomorrow. Yeah, another Nah, they'll be back in many, many years. You had a great team. But the bats have been a little silent, Roger.
A little?
Just a little silent.
Just a little.
Just a little
the
bit.
The silence is deafening.
Right, it's deafening is right.
I'm not going to, don't get me started.
I know.
I already vented online earlier, so I'm okay.
Something that we started in before we listened to the news was Ozzie and Harriet. I love Ozzie and Harriet. You love Ozzie and Harriet?
I love Ozzie
and
Harriet.
Yeah, me too.
Loved watching when they came to TV, too.
Oh, yeah. This is a very funny episode. Let's go back to Halloween 1948. It's called The Haunted House. Here's the conclusion to The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet.
Warning to all ghosts. Beware, Ozzie Nelson will get you if you don't watch out.
Yes, indeed. Ozzie Nelson, arch enemy of all ghosts, goblins, spirits, and similar supernatural phenomena, is on the march. Target for tonight. The ghost that walks in the old McAdams house. See the courageous Ozzie as he strides firmly across the porch of 1847 Rogers Road. Chin up, flashlight swinging at his side. Down the steps, down the walk. And now he stops. Every muscle tense. Eyes alert, nose twitching. A white, filmy object moves out of the darkness.
Who's there?
It's me, Mr. Nelson.
Oh, hello, Emmy Lou.
I came over to show you my Halloween costume. I'm going to a party. Where are you going, Mr. Nelson?
Oh, I'm on an errand for the boys. They went up to the old McAdams house tonight, and they think they saw a ghost.
Really, Mr. Nelson?
Yeah, I'm going up there, you know, to prove to them it was just their imagination.
You're going in that spooky old house tonight, alone?
Well, of course.
Evidently, you haven't heard the story about the McAdams place.
Well, I've heard some silly rumor it's supposed to be haunted or something.
But it is, Mr. Nelson. I heard the whole story from the people who live next door. The story goes that years ago in Scotland, in the old Haggis Castle, the young and beautiful Lady Jane McAdams had a quarrel with her lover, Douglas McDingle McCampbell McTavish. A Scotchman.
Yes, yes, much.
Well, anyway, Lady Jane pushed her lover, Douglas McDingle McCampbell, Campbell McTavish, down the stairs. Down, down, down he went. His head banging on each stone step. Thump, thump, crunch, crunch. His bagpipes mournfully playing, "The Campbells are coming." As he lay at the bottom of the staircase dying, Douglas McDingle McCampbell McTavish, or as they called him, Mac. As he lay at the bottom of the staircase, he took an oath.
Oh, I'd swear a little myself.
He took an oath that he'd follow Lady Jane wherever she went. His spirit would always haunt her.
Where did she go?
She came here to the United States and built the old McAdams place.
No.
And they say that on nights of a full moon like tonight, the giant ghost of Lord McTavish returns. And while the eerie notes of bagpipes ring in the night air, he prowls the house in search of Lady Jane.
He's... it makes a good story, but nobody in his right mind would believe it.
Well, you believe it, don't you, Mr. Nelson?
Yes, but I'm not. I mean, Carson, it's a lot of nonsense.
Okay, Mr. Nelson, but remember, if you go up there tonight and see the ghost and get a terrible fright and drop dead, don't come around saying I didn't warn you. Happy Halloween!
Harriet.
Oh, hello, dear. You back so soon?
No, I haven't gone yet. As a matter of fact, I've been thinking this over, and I don't think I'll go. The whole idea seems sort of childish.
Well, what about the boys, dear? You promised them.
I know, but I mean, after all, isn't it silly for a full-grown man? It's only a wild goose. That's all it is.
Well, if you'd like, dear, I'll go with you.
And the boys... What did you say?
I said I'll go with you.
There are times, Harriet, when a man likes to be alone.
Oh. Well, all right, dear.
Get your coat. This isn't one of those times. Don't get nervous now, dear. Just keep cool.
Oh, I'm cool, all right. Matter of fact, I'm shivering a little.
Just hold my hand good and tight.
I can't.
Hmm?
You're squeezing mine so hard the fingers are asleep.
Sorry. Is that better?
It's better. How do we get through this iron fence?
There's a gate here someplace, I think. It'll probably be bolted and spoil all our fun. They usually have a huge lock on these things and thick chains. Now, here we are. Oh.
Locked?
No.
Well, push it open.
Here, will you take the flashlight a second? Thanks. And the baseball bat, too.
Ooh. Doesn't this place look weird?
Yes, it is pretty spooky in that. Shall I sing something to keep your nerve up?
If you want to, dear.
It'll keep you from getting scared. Did you ever think, as the hearse goes by, someday you are going to die? There's a spook in the meadow.
Dear, dear, it might frighten the ghost. Must be a haunted house. The door squeaks.
I don't know why you insisted on coming along, Harriet. I could just as easily have come by myself.
Ozzy, something has hold of my coat.
Yeah, that's me. Who closed the door?
Didn't you?
No.
Oh, it must have been the wind. Gee, this place sure looks creepy with the moon streaming through the windows. What was that?
Now, just don't be frightened. I'm right beside you.
Ozzy, there's something in this room. It's coming toward us.
It's getting closer. Harry, quick, my baseball bat.
Hey, Oz, careful with that.
Harry!
Oh. Hello, Harry and Oz.
You old trickster.
Oh, just thought I'd have a little fun with all the talk that's been going around about this place.
So you're the ghost David and Ricky saw. I should have guessed by the description. You should have a bagpipe, though, Thorny.
A bagpipe?
Well, sure, haven't you heard? This place is supposed to be haunted by a Scotch ghost who plays the bagpipe. And each night he comes down the stairs playing some old... Well, you do have one, Thorny. Where is it? Oh, you sure play awful.
Worse than you think. I don't play at all.
But I hear a bagpipe. Listen, I can hear it plain as day.
Ozzy, up there, the head of the stairs.
The ghost. The ghost of Lord McTavish. Well, we've seen it. Let's go.
Well, let's all keep calm about this. We'll just be quiet.
It's getting late, Thorny. Let's get out of here.
Ozzy, you're carrying my coat. Wait.
Oz, the door won't open. I keep turning my hand on it. It won't open.
Stop it, Thorny. You've got hold of my nose.
This way, boys. Thorny, the door's over here.
Follow me. I'll make one of my own.
No, thanks. I can't understand it. There must be some scientific explanation. Did I seem very scared out there?
Oh, no, not especially.
I mean, did I act in any way that might give somebody the impression that this illusion we saw frightened me?
Well, no, you were very level-headed about it. Of course, it was the first time I've ever seen you jump a 7-foot fence.
I didn't think I could fool you. That thing, whatever it was, scared the daylights out of me.
I was plenty scared myself. I can't figure out those bagpipes.
No, and then what about the ghost?
Oh, well, yes, of course, the ghost, too.
Harriet, what are you stuffing behind the sofa pillow?
Oh, nothing, dear, just some old papers and things.
Wait a minute, let me see that.
It's only an old sheet.
You'll get the couch dirty. It's got cobwebs. Cobwebs!
How about a little more coffee?
And there's Ricky's baseball bat, the one I... Harriet, if you'd like to make a little confession, I'll listen. But if you'd rather not, I'd rather you would.
All right, dear. It's just the boys and I thought it'd be nice if you could have a little fun on Halloween. You told them how much you enjoyed going to some haunted house. So we thought that if we could sort of... Ozzy, listen.
I'm listening. Go on.
No, listen. The bagpipes.
Yeah.
I hear the bagpipes again.
So do I.
Hey, Pop, can we have a dime?
Boys, listen. Do you hear bagpipes playing?
Sure, that's what we owe the dime for. He's out front now.
Who's out front?
Mr. Campbell, the man with the Scotch Plaid ice cream truck.
The Scotch Plaid ice cream truck?
Well, sure, haven't you ever seen him? Can we have a dime, Pop?
A dime? Here's 50 cents. Stuff yourselves.
Thanks, Pop.
Oh, boy.
Hey,
how about that? The bagpipes we heard at the McAdams place were from the Scotch Plaid ice cream truck.
What a coincidence.
Oh, remarkable. You see, the Scotch Plaid ice cream truck happened to stop there. See, there are no other houses around, and nobody lives there, but he happened to stop there. Played a different tune up there, too, didn't he?
I don't remember.
Harriet, believe me, it was only the Scotch Plaid ice cream truck.
Yes, I know, dear.
I'll say it just once more. The bagpipes we heard at the McAdams place were from the Scotch Plaid ice cream truck.
Okay, dear, you've convinced me.
I wish I could convince myself. I'd like to get some sleep tonight.
Ozzie and Harriet will be back in just a moment. Well, I don't know how you feel about it, but I kind of hope the bagpipe music didn't come from the Scotch Plaid ice cream truck. Because that's the way Halloween ought to be. Lots of mysterious tapping at every window. Witches riding through the air. Spirits in every tree.
I've already had a message from the Halloween spirits, Mr. Smith. Last night on my way down Rogers Road, a voice spoke to me suddenly out of nowhere.
Honest? What did it say?
Beware. If you don't give us a special treat on Halloween, we'll spirit your new set of 1847 Rogers Brothers away from you. Beware.
Hey, now, there's a smart ghost if there ever was one.
You mean I have a smart son if there ever was one. He hasn't heard me raving about my new 1847 Rogers Brothers for nothing.
Oh, nobody raves about 1847 Rogers Brothers for nothing. There are all kinds of good reasons for getting excited about it. 1847 is the finest silver plate in America, you know. No other silver plate in the world can match its beautiful features. Features like the exceptional height and depth of the pattern ornament and the extra luster, perfect weight and balance of each piece. Those are the features that make 1847 Rogers Brothers really more like solid silver.
And don't forget the price of 1847 Rogers Brothers, Mr. Smith.
Oh, impossible to forget that, because it's so unusual. 1847 prices haven't gone up since 1945. Not a single penny. So, no matter how you look at it, 1847 Rogers Brothers is the silverware you want for your home. It's the best, the finest silver plate in America. Famous 1847 Rogers Brothers.
Oh, come on, dear. Put out the light. Let's go to sleep.
In a few minutes, Harriet, I just want to finish this article. Debunking the spook.
Debunking the spook?
Yeah, the man who wrote it spent the night in a house that was supposed to be haunted. As I sat there in the darkness, I could hear the clock in the village striking 12. Now was the witching hour. If ever the dead lived, now was the time they must rise from the grave. I stood up and dared the ghost to appear. I said, if you were a ghost, I dare you to strike me dead. Silly article.
What happened next?
Well, and let's see, he goes on to...
Yes?
The article ends right there.
Come on, dear, I'm tired. I want to go to sleep.
And you know what might be fun? Let's sleep with the lights on tonight.
Tune in next week to another adventure of Ozzie and Harriet, starring Ozzie Nelson and Harriet Hilliard.
And remember, America's finest silver plate is 1847 Rogers Brothers.
Yes, Harriet, America's finest silver plate is 1847 Rogers Brothers.
Appearing in support of Ozzie and Harriet were John Brown, Janet Waldo, Henry Blair, Tommy Bernard, and Jack Kirkwood. Original music was composed and conducted by Billy May. This program originates in the Hollywood studios of the National Broadcasting Company and is also broadcast over the Trans-Canada network of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. This adventure of Ozzie and Harriet will be transmitted to our men and women overseas by shortwave and through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service.
The camels are coming. No, Lord McTavish.
Ozzie.
It's a ghost.
Ozzie, wake up.
What's all the racket, Mom?
Daddy's having a nightmare.
Is that what he's doing? That noise really scared us.
Well, it frightened me, too.
Okay, now we're even.
Of Ozzie and Harriet, starring Ozzie Nelson and Harriet Hilliard. This is Burns.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
That's The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet from Halloween 1948. Ozzie Nelson, Harriet Hilliard, and a great cast, Janet Waldo, along with Jack Kirkwood on there. And Vern Smith, the man with a smile in his voice, Vern Smith doing the announcing for International Silver, which was a, you know, like if you were to have forks and knives and spoons in a big, you know, big case. My mom's mom had one of these from International Silver.
Oh, my mom still has that.
Yeah.
With a big wooden case,
right.
And they're all lined up.
It might
and they're
be International Silver. That's who the sponsor
to,
was.
You have to polish it.
Of Ozzie and Harriet, yeah. And they were a real life married couple on the air, unlike us.
That's correct.
Lisa is married, but not to me.
That's for sure.
That's probably really good for the both of us, right?
Probably.
But
yeah.
Probably better for you.
Yeah.
That you're not married to me.
That's correct.
I would not wish that upon anybody.
I wouldn't either.
All right, let's take a break, right? You got a live read?
Yeah, guess who is coming to the Paramount Theater in Aurora? You will never guess.
Engelbert Humperdinck.
No, but you didn't have to say it correctly. It's Engelbert.
Oh, Engelbert.
Not Engelbert.
Engelbert.
Engelbert. I've seen his show. He does a terrific show. He is the king of romance. He's got one of the most unforgettable names on the planet. It's Engelbert Humperdinck. He's live at the Paramount Theater in Aurora.
You know, a lot of people change their name when they get into show
Engelbert
business.
Engelbert is a great name.
He changes now. Engelbert Humperdinck? I mean, I'd have been like, what do you think to my manager? What do you think? My name is Engelbert Humperdinck.
But here's the thing. You remember that name.
I would change
it's
it
not
to
like Carl.
Engelhump.
But that's perfect.
Hi, I'm Engelhump.
Maybe that's his nickname. Saturday, November 5th, join this international sensation. He sings all of your favorites, including After the Lovin',
After
Release
the
Me,
lovin'.
And Quando, 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 Quando.
I don't know that one, but I know After the Lovin'.
Engelbert Humperdinck live, November 5th at the Paramount Aurora.
He
tickets.
He sings it a little better than I do.
I'm for sure. You're telling me to hurry, but you keep interrupting me. Tickets at ParamountAurora.com. That's ParamountAurora.com.
Thanks for staying up late with us. Lisa Wolf to my right, L.F. Garris in the booth, and upstairs on the seventh floor, the one and only Roger Badish. And we want to thank all of our listeners for tuning us in. We were an hour late getting on the air here because of Cubs post game. And we will be back here tonight. We'll either be back on the air at midnight if the Cubs lose, and 1 o'clock in the morning if the Cubs win. So,
Sorry, you guys. I know a lot of people are frustrated
nothing
with this situation.
Nothing we can do about it.
We want to be here, so we're trying our best.
Playing these classic radio shows. But next week, we'll be back to full power, 3 hours every Saturday and 3 hours every Sunday. We're here from 11 p.m. until 2 o'clock in the morning, and we will resume all of that. And we have some Halloween programming tonight and tomorrow, but then we get into Thanksgiving programming in November, and throughout the entire month of December, we'll have Christmas shows, all your favorite Christmas shows, to really get you in the mood for the holiday spirit and fun and gift-giving and all that good stuff. And in this hour, we have a very scary episode of The Mysterious Traveler coming your way, and that's brought to you by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actress stars in the upcoming thriller Nocturnal Animals as a gallery owner haunted by her ex-husband's violent novel. And if you get this correct, you will win 2 tickets to see Tony and Tina's wedding here in Chicago with Brian Noonan.
All right, the number to call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint, I date her, and you'll hear her in American Hustle.
He wasn't necessarily in good shape, and he had this comb over that was rather elaborate. He had this confidence that drew me to him.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. She's talking about me.
I know.
Comb over.
You have a comb over?
Gut going on here.
That's not what she was saying.
But she liked the guy anyway in the movie.
She's a terrific actress.
Wonderful actress. 312-981-7200. Who is that actress? Win tickets to see Tony and Tina's wedding. We'll be right back.
We are back.
I got one more thing.
Oh, sorry. We're
World
not back.
Series coverage. Count on your Cubs TV station, WGN, for complete news and sports coverage throughout the series. Watch WGN TV for everything Cubs this October. All right.
All right. Now we're back.
Yeah, now we're ready.
And we're playing Celebrity Scoop, and we are so glad that you stayed up with us for the last hour of our show. Let's play that movie clip one more time.
He wasn't necessarily in good shape, and he had this comb over that was rather
She's talking
elaborate.
About
elaborate. He had this confidence that drew me to him.
Yes, I'm very
Julia,
confident.
Julia, are you talking confident. About Carl here?
Julia, just say that that actor is Carl Amari.
Do we have Julia with us?
I am here.
Hi, Julia. How are you?
Hi, Julia.
I'm well, thanks. How are you guys?
Good.
We're good. We were. Carl was kind of thinking that actress was talking about him. What do you think?
I think it's Amy Adams.
I think you are right.
I date
so
her.
We're gonna. Carl would date her. She's a great actress, and you are a winner, Julia. We're so happy to give you two tickets to Tony and Tina's wedding. It's back in Chicago. It was here so many years ago. It's a great show. It's a lot of fun. I saw it, and our own Brian Noonan gets to be a part of it. So we sort of have a kindred spirit here with that show. You can get tickets at TonyLovesTina.com. But you get two free tickets for calling in and knowing the right answer. Thank you so much, Julia, for listening.
Thanks so much, Amy.
It's okay. I'm Lisa.
You can call me Lisa.
Oh, it's okay. Goodness. You can call me Amy Adams anytime you want to.
Thanks, Julia.
Take care.
Hey, you remember, Lisa, do you remember the movie? Elif, maybe you saw this movie. It was called Drop Dead Gorgeous.
Yes.
You ever see this movie?
Yes.
That was the first time I ever saw Amy Adams in a movie. She plays one of the, what do you call it?
One of those girls.
She's one of the, what do you call it? Pom-pom girls or whatever
oh.
in it. She's a pom-pom girl in the movie. And she's... She stands
okay.
out in this
Let
movie.
Me just
it was
tell
just a
you
small part.
I met her because I'd had a little
Did
part
you give
in
her
a
my
movie
number?
With her.
Slip
I didn't,
her my number?
I didn't know you then.
Oh.
I had this little teeny tiny part in a movie they filmed here in Chicago with Amy Adams, and I wish I could tell you what the name of it is. Isn't that so sad?
Well, Lisa, you're in so many movies.
Yeah, it's really hard to keep track of my line.
Well, I remember watching this movie, Drop Dead Gorgeous, and it was a funny, funny movie. Right, Elif? You liked that movie?
Yeah, it was a pretty good one.
Well, I remember seeing Amy Adams in it saying, wow, this girl is fantastic.
Yeah.
And then she was in that movie, Catch Me If You Can, mm-hmm. with Leonardo DiCaprio. She was awesome in that movie. And then she just took off, you know, huge, huge, big actress.
Well, maybe you should take off after her.
Yeah.
She was in Enchanted as well.
I didn't
no,
see that.
No, not Enchanted.
I didn't see Enchanted.
I didn't see that.
I forgot the name.
It sounds much
well,
too romantic
she plays
for
Lois
Carl.
Lane.
Yeah.
She's Lois yeah. Lane in the Superman movies now.
Yes.
She plays Lois Lane, but she's just been in a ton
she's
of movies.
A lot of things, yeah.
She's fantastic, and there you go.
There you go.
There you go. All right, time now for The Mysterious Traveler. This was a mystery series, came to radio in 1943. It was created, written, produced, directed by Robert A. Arthur and David Kogan. It was heard on the Mutual Network. Maurice Tarplin was the man on the train, and he asked us to join him on another journey into the strange and terrifying. This had New York's best supporting actors in it, including Jackson Beck, Lawson Zerbe, Elspeth Eric, Louis Van Ruten, Mason Adams, and it was mostly sustained. No transition to television on this series, although there were comic books and magazines. And it left the radio in 1952, and I think you're going to like this. Good mystery. This is called Survival of the Fittest. Let's go back to January 10th, 1950. Here's part one of The Mysterious Traveler.
The Mysterious Traveler. Written, produced, and directed by Robert A. Arthur and David Kogan. And presenting tonight, two of radio's foremost personalities, Everett Sloan and Kermit Murdoch, in Survival of the Fittest.
The
This is the Mysterious Traveler, inviting you to join me on another journey into the realm of the strange and the terrifying. I hope you will enjoy the trip, and it will thrill you a little and chill you a little. So settle back, get a good grip on your nerves, and be comfortable, if you can, as we hear a strange story of hate and intrigue. I call it Survival of the Fittest. Our story begins near the outskirts of a small New England town. It is early evening. Situated on a high hill that overlooks the town is a large and ancient mansion, the ancestral home of five generations of DeWitts. A car turns off the highway and into the private road. Slowly it crawls along the winding and bumpy driveway, its headlights illuminating the crumbling, ghostly-looking mansion. At last the car comes to a stop. An elderly man gets out and walks up the wide stone steps to the front door. He looks about uneasily, then lifts the huge knocker on the door.
Skyler, open up. Let me in. Skyler, open up.
Who's down there?
You know, it's Paul Adams. I must see you.
Go away, you old vulture. I don't want to see you.
Skyler, I'm your lawyer, and I demand that you let me in.
No one sets foot in this house. No one, do you hear? That includes you.
I've got to talk to you. Now, you've got a great many legal matters to discuss.
Just leave those legal papers on the front steps and get off my property. I'll look them over in my own good time, just like I've always done.
But, Skyler, now, how can I...
Don't argue, you old vulture. Just do as I say.
All right, Skyler. I'm leaving the briefcase by the front door. I'll look everything over. I'll be back tomorrow night to pick it up.
I thought you'd see it my way. Now get off my property. You're trespassing.
Oh, good evening, Paul. Come in.
Thank you, Alex.
Come into my study. What brings you here at this hour?
Alex, I've just been out to the DeWitt Mansion to see Skyler.
Oh? Have a seat.
Thank you.
What did you go out to see Skyler about? Legal matters?
What else? Alex, that man's getting more and more difficult to deal with. Do you realize that in the 20 years I've been his lawyer, he's never allowed me into that house? Well, I hardly know what he looks like.
I'm afraid very few people do.
Alex, you're his doctor, the one person he permits inside that mansion. You've got to do something.
What do you suggest?
He's getting worse all the time. It's unbelievable, a man with all that money cutting himself off from life. And all on account of a woman.
You never knew Skyler's wife, did you?
No. Was she as beautiful as they say?
Words can't describe Christine's beauty. She was the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. And the cleverest as well.
It sounds to me, Doctor, as though you'd been in love with her yourself.
I was. I'll never forget the day that Christine ran off to Paris with Gordon DeWitt, Skyler's brother. When Skyler found her note, he was like a madman.
Too bad. But both Christine and Gordon DeWitt are dead. Killed in that air raid in London during the war. Now, Skyler knows that. It's time he stopped thinking of her.
Not Skyler. He'll go on living in that huge mansion with his memories until the day he dies.
You'd think he'd go insane there alone without anyone to talk to.
He isn't quite alone. He has three cats for company.
Cats? You call that company? What does he do with himself?
Well, for one thing, he reads a great deal. Yes. At this moment, he's probably sitting in his study, reading by oil light. There are books piled all over the place, with hardly space to walk. And the cats are in the study with him. You know, I suspect that when Skyler is alone, he speaks to them, treats them as if they were human, could understand.
This book, Socrates, was written by a fool. Sheer nonsense, every word of it. Don't know why I wasted so much time on it. Well, enough of it. It's well after midnight, and we... What infernal fool is at our door at this hour? It couldn't be Dr. Stevens. He's got more sense. Must be that lawyer of mine, Paul Adams, come back again. Don't know why I put up with that man. Hey, who's down there?
Come down and open the door, Skylar. I want to see you.
Go away, whoever you are.
Don't you recognize my voice?
Who is it?
It's your brother.
My brother? What do you take me for, a fool? Get off my property.
Come down and open the door, Skylar. It's Gordon.
His voice, but it couldn't be. It couldn't be.
You hear me, Skylar?
No, you can't be Gordon. Gordon was killed in an air raid during the war. He's been dead 5 years.
So everyone believes. I have a cigarette lighter here. I'll light it and hold it up to my face. There.
Gordon. It is Gordon.
Satisfied? Now let me in.
So you're alive, huh? And you've come back. This is the last place in the world you should have returned to, Gordon.
Perhaps. You coming down to let me in?
Yes, Gordon. I'm coming down. Come in, Gordon.
You've changed, Skylar. Considerably.
Yes, Gordon. I've changed considerably. It's been 20 years. They said you'd been killed in an air raid during the war.
I walked out of a London theater 2 minutes before it was demolished by a bomb. It was assumed I'd been killed with hundreds of others.
And Christine?
She died in the theater.
Poor Christine.
Poor Christine, indeed.
You dare laugh at her memory?
It's time, Skylar, you learn the truth about Christine.
I forbid you to speak about her, Gordon. Not a word.
You're going to listen whether you like it or not. Sit down.
I'll kill you, Gordon.
Sit where you are. That's better. From the moment you met Christine 25 years ago, you behaved like a fool. You saw Christine not as she was, but as someone to be placed on a pedestal, worshipped. She was never the woman you dreamed of. Christine was like the rest of us, with all our faults and weaknesses.
Everything you're saying is a lie, a lie!
If she hadn't run off with me, she'd have run off with any one of half a dozen other men who were in love with her.
Not a word you're saying is true, not a word. You turned her head with your lies and promises. You robbed me of her love, lured her away.
Only an idiot would believe that. Christine ran off with me because she wanted to. She was a woman with desires and a mind of her own.
I don't believe a word of it, not a word. You're saying all this for a purpose. What do you want? Why have you come here?
What I've told you is true. My purpose in coming here? Very simple. Money. I chose to allow everyone to believe I had died in that London theater because I was heavily in debt. Since that time, I've been living in France under an assumed identity.
And you've finally come here for financial assistance, eh?
Yes, Skylar, I have. I know that you're worth millions. You can well afford to give me a small part of it.
A bit ironic, don't you think? You run off with a man's wife, and 20 years later, you ask him to assist you.
I tell you, you are well rid of Christine. The woman you loved didn't exist.
And for revealing this great truth to me after 20 years, you expect money, hmm?
I'm still your brother. You can't let me starve.
No, of course I won't let you starve, Gordon. As you say, you are my brother.
Then you will give me some money.
Money? No. But you're perfectly free to live here with me, Gordon. I've plenty of empty rooms. 40, to be exact. You'll find here food and shelter. And brotherly love, of course.
It wasn't my idea to live here.
I'm sorry, Gordon, but that's all I can offer you.
I see. Thank you, Skylar.
Leaving already?
Goodbye, Skylar.
Goodbye, Gordon. Yes, Socrates. He'll be back. He'll be back. Someone at the front door. Must be Gordon. I knew he'd be back. Held out a week, but in the end, he came back. Yeah, who is it?
Dr. Stevens.
Oh, you, Doctor.
Come down and open the door, Schuyler. It's been 6 months since you've let me in. It's time you had a checkup.
Go away, Doctor. I'm feeling fine.
Oh, are you now? Why is your voice so hoarse?
I've had a light cold for a couple of weeks, that's all. I don't need any doctor. Now go away.
Well, let me in anyway. We can talk, can't we?
We've got nothing to talk about, Doctor. You live in one world, I live in another.
And what of Christine Schuyler? We both knew her, loved her.
Yes, we both knew her, but I was the only one she loved. Everything he said was a pack of lies, nothing but lies.
What's that? Schuyler, let me in. I can't hear you from here.
Huh? All right. I'm coming down.
All right, that's the first portion of The Mysterious Travel with Survival of the Fittest from 1950. Let's take a break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, welcome back to the WGN Radio Theater. Thanks, Roger. All right, we are tuning into The Mysterious Traveler with Survival of the Fittest from January 10th, 1950. Maurice Tarplin is the Mysterious Traveler in this, and he played Inspector Faraday on Boston Blackie, which is my favorite radio show of all time, Boston Blackie. We'll have to play more of those. Get you hooked on it, Lisa. Get you hooked on
it. Mike likes that, too.
Yeah, he likes Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yeah.
That's his favorite. That's a good one. Elif, I think, likes the romance ones. She's all into the romantic.
Did you just make that up?
Romantic radio
shows. I think he just
made
that up.
He did.
Yeah.
He did.
That's not Elif.
No, she
that's
likes
not
the
her personality.
What do you like? Do you like the scary ones?
I like the thrillers.
Yeah, you like the mystery thrillers.
Yeah,
I like the detective and the mysteries. Lisa is a mystery, and then
I think all women are a mystery to you.
Roger likes the comedies, and he likes the detectives and
he
the
likes
westerns.
Everything.
I like Gunsmoke a lot
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I do like everything.
Yeah, we play it all here on the WGN Radio Theater, all your favorites. And if you go to our website, WGNRadioTheater.com, you'll see our schedule of all the shows we're airing here all the way through. I think through the end of the year, I put the schedule up, Lisa. Thanks for all your help on that.
Well, if it weren't for me, you wouldn't have been able to even select the radio shows that you were not able to post on there
yourself
anyways.
I mean, Lisa, she works hard on that schedule.
Don't sound sarcastic when you say that.
I'm not. I'm thanking you for all your help on that.
I'm noting just an edge of sarcasm in that comment.
Dedication and her hard work.
Well,
she stays up
true.
All night long working on the schedule.
Well, maybe not
Thank
at night,
you.
But in the evening.
We appreciate that. No, I didn't.
He's saucy tonight,
no,
isn't he?
No, I'm not at all.
We had a couple listeners who mentioned that you're
Cubs.
A little edgy tonight.
I'm a little upset about the Cubs.
Yeah. All right, well, don't take it out on me.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't do that.
You already did.
Absolutely not. All right, let's tune into the conclusion now of The Mysterious Traveler.
Have a seat, Doctor.
Thank you, Schuyler. You have the oil wicks down so low there's hardly any light.
Light isn't necessary for talk, Doctor.
No, I suppose it isn't. How have you been feeling, Schuyler? Do you have any chest pains? Sounds like a heavy cold to me.
I told you I'm all right. Have you had any callers lately?
Callers?
I mean, has anyone shown up you haven't seen in years?
Why, no. Why do you ask?
I was just wondering. Gordon is back.
Gordon is back?
Yes.
What are you talking about, Schuyler? Gordon is dead.
No, he's alive.
You don't know what you're saying, Schuyler. He was killed in a London air raid during the war.
No, you're wrong. Gordon walked out of that theater 2 minutes before it was bombed, leaving Christine behind. He told me so himself.
Told you so himself?
Yes, he showed up here a week ago, the same Gordon. 20 years older, a bit down at the heel, but as debonair as ever. And as skillful a liar, I might add.
But he's dead, I tell you.
Yes, that's what I thought, but he isn't. Trust Gordon to come out of an air raid alive.
Schuyler, get a hold of yourself. You imagined it all.
Imagined it all?
Yes, you didn't see Gordon. It was all an hallucination.
Hallucination? What are you trying to say? That I'm going mad?
I tell you, he was here a week ago, sat in the same chair you're sitting in.
How could he, Schuyler, when he's dead?
But he isn't.
Schuyler, listen. I was stationed in London during the war. Knew the medical officers whose job it was to treat the air raid wounded and identify the dead.
But what are you getting at?
I spoke to the officer who identified Gordon and Christine.
What?
Yes. Both were horribly mutilated, of course. But Gordon was identified by his name bracelet, his ring, and watch.
No. No, that couldn't be.
It's true. I myself saw the bracelet, ring, and watch. I recognized the ring. It was the one Gordon got on his 21st birthday.
Gordon dead?
Yes.
But I saw him. I'd swear to it.
Of course you would, Schuyler. Hallucinations are like that. So vivid, so lifelike that you would swear to them. Now listen to me, Schuyler. You know I'm your friend. Have been since we were children. I want you to listen to me very carefully. Good night, Schuyler. Just leave everything to me. It shouldn't take longer than 2 weeks.
All right, Doctor.
Everything's going to be all right. There's nothing to worry about. Good night.
Good night, Doctor.
Good evening, Schuyler.
Wait. Hey, Gordon!
That was Alex Stevens, wasn't it? I decided to wait till he left.
You're dead. You're dead.
What are you talking about?
You must be.
You've gone out of your mind? Here. Feel my hand. Is that a dead man's hand?
But Dr. Stevens said your body had been identified. That he himself had seen your bracelet, ring, watch.
So you told him I'd call on you, hmm?
He said I'd had a hallucination.
Hallucination? I'm afraid not.
But the body that was identified, the bracelet, ring, and watch.
Very simple. I ran back to the theater after the explosion to see if Christine was still alive. It was then it occurred to me how convenient it would be to have myself thought dead. I found a badly mangled body, removed the identification, and substituted my own.
And they thought it was you?
Yes. Shall we go in the house?
By all means, Gordon. By all means. All right. Gather that you've decided to take advantage of my generous offer.
Yes, Schuyler, I haven't any choice. I'm stone broke.
I see. Have a seat, Gordon.
Thank you. What the devil's so funny?
Oh, clever, clever, Gordon. You think I don't know what you've come back for, eh, Gordon?
What are you talking about?
As you well recall, Gordon, Mother left me the income from a $500,000 trust fund. When I die, that trust fund will go to charity. However, if you should turn up after my death, the income would go to you, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
$40,000 a year, that's a tidy sum. Have you decided how you're going to do it, Gordon? What's it to be, a gun, poison, a blunt instrument?
I haven't quite made up my mind, Schuyler. Aren't you a little frightened?
Why should I be? You're going to find me a very difficult problem, Gordon. Unless I die a natural death, you'll be open to suspicion when you appear to claim the income from the trust fund.
I'm aware of that, Schuyler.
Yes, indeed, I'm going to be quite a problem. Perhaps even a bigger one than you think.
I don't think so, Schuyler.
No? How can you be sure, Gordon, that you won't wind up as the victim? After all, it would be a simple matter for me to, say, poison you, bury you in this cellar. As far as the world is concerned, Gordon DeWitt is dead. No one would come looking for you.
I'm also aware of that, Schuyler. I shall be on my guard.
Yes, Gordon, be on your guard. For I suspect that in a very short time, there's going to be one less DeWitt in this world. Now, Gordon, supper is ready.
You don't say. No doubt another one of those indigestible affairs you call supper.
Well, you haven't died yet from one of my meals, Gordon, and you've been here 2 weeks already. Sit down, join me.
Bread, beans, and canned pork. Is that all you ever eat?
Just about, Gordon. Oh, help yourself.
Thanks. After you.
Oh, of course. After all, I did prepare the meal, didn't I?
I may be drunk, but not that drunk.
Now, Gordon, you mustn't be irritable because you haven't been able to think of a way of killing me and making it look like a natural death. After all, I warned you that I'd be a problem.
Yes, but I'm no problem. No one knows I'm alive. No one knows I'm here. What are you waiting for? Afraid?
Certainly not. It's just that I enjoy the situation.
You want to draw this out the last moment, don't you? You think I'll break from the strain of being on constant guard? You're wrong, Skylar. I won't.
No? Then why have you taken to drink? And look at yourself. You haven't shaved since you set foot in this house.
Drunk or sober, I'm a better man than you.
We shall see, Gordon. We shall see. More beans.
Aren't you afraid you may wait too long, Skylar? I may try to kill you sooner than you believe.
I think I shall sense the moment when you finally thought out a plan and decided to act.
You will? Look, Skylar, I'm picking up this bread knife. How do you know I'm not going to kill you now?
You can't. You haven't thought out a plan yet.
You're wrong. I've had a plan from the moment I entered this house 2 weeks ago.
What?
Yes, Skylar. As for my drinking, that was an act. An act designed to give you a sense of security and to give me time.
What do you mean?
I've had time to observe you closely, hear the way you talk, learn your every mannerism.
You couldn't get away with it. You couldn't.
Why not, Skylar? Only one person ever sets foot in this house, Dr. Stevens. He sees you rarely, and only for a few minutes. The light is always dim. At best, you're a shadowy figure.
He'd sense the difference. You'd be caught.
No, Skylar. There's a strong resemblance between you and me, and with this beard I'm growing, he'll never know the difference.
No, you don't. You robbed me of Christine, but you won't get my money. You won't get my money.
I'll get it, as I've gotten everything I wanted.
No, no, don't! You stab!
Oh. You're dying, Skylar. You hear? You've lost.
They'll hang you for this, Gordon. They'll hang you.
No, Skylar. For when you die, I'll be Skylar DeWitt. I'll bury you in the cellar, and that will be the end of it all.
You'll never get away with it.
But I will, Skylar. And I want you to die knowing that. Your millions, Skylar, they'll all be mine.
No, you...
Skylar? Poor Skylar. He never had a chance. Here, Socrates. Get away, Plato. You've had enough to eat. As long as you're fed, you don't mind having a new master, do you? Now, you're the only ones who can give me away. But I don't think you will. Seems we have a visitor. Now for the impersonation of Skylar.
Who's down there?
It's Dr. Stevens, Skylar. Sounds as though your cold is gone.
My cold? Oh, yes, yes.
Come down, let me in.
Go away, I don't want to see anyone.
Now, don't be unreasonable. You and I have been friends for a long time. Come down and let me in.
Not tonight, Doctor. Now, go away.
What do we do now, Doctor?
Let me handle this. You can stay in the car.
Who's that down there with you?
Your lawyer, Paul Adams, and a friend.
Well, get off my property, all of you.
Skylar, I insist that you let me in. You don't, I'll force my way in.
You'd be breaking the law. That's what you'd be doing, breaking the law.
Are you coming down, or do I have to force my way in?
I'm coming, Doctor. And you'd better have a good reason for all this. Well, what is the meaning of this, Doctor?
Oh, Skylar, I told you I'd be back in a couple of weeks.
Well, maybe you did, but that doesn't mean I have to see you. A man can change his mind, you know.
Oh, so that's it. You've changed your mind.
Well, yes.
I'm afraid it's too late for that, Skylar.
What?
What do you mean?
Don't fence with me, Schuyler. I thought we'd gone over this already.
Well, maybe we did, but I don't know.
Believe me, Schuyler, it's for the best. Have you packed?
Packed? I'm not going anywhere.
I told you it. It's too late to change your mind. Now let me get a few of your things together.
I'm not going. I'm staying here in my home.
Schuyler, I'm your doctor. I know what's best for you. Don't compel me to use force.
Force?
Yes.
This is my house, and if I want to stay here, I'll stay. Now get out.
Are you forgetting this, Schuyler?
What's that?
You know very well what it is. These are the papers you signed the last time I was here.
Papers?
Yes. Committing yourself to an institution. Don't you remember?
Institution?
You don't remember. Which proves how right I was. First hallucinations. Now loss of memory. Come along, Schuyler.
No. You can't put me in an institution. I didn't sign those commitment papers.
Please, Schuyler.
I'm not Schuyler. I'm Gordon. Gordon DeWitt.
Gordon DeWitt?
Yes, Schuyler's dead. I'm Gordon. I'm not insane.
Of course you're not. Now come along.
I tell you, I'm not Schuyler. Schuyler's dead. He's buried in the...
Yes?
Nothing. Nothing. I guess you're right, Doctor. I am Schuyler DeWitt. I've got to be Schuyler DeWitt. I've got to be.
This is the Mysterious Traveler again. Did you enjoy our trip? What happened to Gordon DeWitt, or should I say, Schuyler DeWitt? Well, the poor man was taken to a mental institution, and quite depressed he was, too. In the months that followed, he could never quite make up his mind who he was. One moment he would insist he was Gordon DeWitt, then the next moment, suddenly frightened, he would claim he was Schuyler DeWitt. Looks as though the poor fellow is a hopeless case, and he's doomed... Oh, you have to get off here. I'm sorry. I'm sure we meet again. I take this same train every week at the same time.
You have just heard The Mysterious Traveler, which is played by Maurice Tarplin. In the cast were Everett Sloan, Kermit Murdoch, and Cameron Prudhomme. Original music is composed as played by Al Finelli. This is Derwood Kirby speaking, and this is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
That guy's name was Derwood Kirby. Not as bad as Engelbert Humperdinck.
You know, yeah. We learned from a listener, yeah. Tony, that his real name is Arnold George Dorsey. So
it's weird. His name was Arnold George Dorsey, and he changed it to Engelbert Humperdinck.
Maybe that means something.
Yeah, maybe that's like crazy to do.
It may have some special personal meaning.
Maybe it does. But anyway, that was The Mysterious Traveler, January 10th, 1950, with Survival of the Fittest, starring Maurice Tarplin along with Everett Sloan and Kermit Murdoch, as heard on the Mutual Broadcasting System. Let's take a break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. His real name is Arnold George Dorsey.
Although that's one of the listeners. We're going to trust him that he's correct. Yeah. So he didn't check that.
Arnie Dorsey.
Arnie changed it to or... Engelbert Humperdinck.
Yeah, but you know what?
I think it should just went with Arnie.
A lot of these singers and actors.
You know what? Why not? Yeah. It's unforgettable name. And look, we're talking about it.
It's true.
So good for him.
That's true.
It worked because everybody knows who he is.
I haven't interviewed him, but I think a couple years ago, you might have to just look at WGNRadio.com, but I think maybe Pete McMurray had interviewed him before.
Yeah, I've seen his show, though. Yeah. He interviewed the Dink. Great show.
He goes by the Dink.
Did you really? You guys are close. You guys are close.
Dinky. We hang. I call him Dinky.
We hang.
Nice.
Dinky.
I call him Dinky. Nice.
What's on the show besides you and Joe?
We're going to do a little. Well, we're going to have a little bit of a Cubs conversation because now we're to play. Andy Mazur is going to join us again. He did the post game, but we're going to talk a little bit about. The two scenarios, which is, are we going to Cleveland or are we going to at least win tomorrow so that the only team that wins the World Series in Wrigley Field isn't the Cleveland Indians.
Jeez.
So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And
I thought it was the Cleveland Native Americans.
You know, they're changing. There's already an art this week that they're going to meet with.
Come on.
Let them be. Come on.
All right.
We're going to escape Cubsdom for a little bit tonight, and because it's Halloween weekend, and we're going to talk to Ursula Bielski, who is...
Ghost Hunter.
And, you know, remember Richard Crowe and Eddie Schwartz talking on the air for so many years? So she's going to come in live in studio, answer questions. We'll talk about Resurrection
Mary. Are you sure she's alive?
She is. She is.
Maybe we could all learn a few things.
Yeah, it's always... great conversation.
Oh,
but
man.
But we posted on Friday morning. It's okay. It's my part of the show now. It doesn't matter.
Roger's jumping at the bit up there.
Hang on, buddy boy.
I'm okay. I'm listening.
Yeah. But I was telling Roger upstairs, we posted Monday morning to preview the show, our show on the marquee. It's a WGN's Dave Player Show with Ursula on the Willowbrook Ballroom sign. And later that afternoon, it burned to the ground.
Because
it's been around since the beginning of the century.
Yeah, it's kind of historical. Crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. But when Ursula's here, and we've talked about Richard Crowe, and I remember this with Kevin Richter, who's now Bill and Wendy's producer, we were sitting at the desk, and he pointed above my head, and the two lights above my head started blinking when we started talking about Richard and Eddie Schwartz.
Well,
and,
wow. They had a guy standing at the lights, and they
I'm telling you, it was freaky. It was a little freaky.
I saw a ghost one time. It's not true.
He's been talking about this for years.
I'm telling you. Casper? One of these days when we have more time.
Casper.
I'll tell you my ghost story. It's really true. Okay. I saw a ghost.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. I thought a ghost pessimist. On Pokemon Go.
Yeah. Oh, Roger and his Pokemon.
That's exactly the same. Yeah.
Roger.
Yeah.
He's a 12-year-old in disguise.
But then the other thing is we're going to play, since you've been truncated these last few weeks because of Cubs postgame, you gave me On a Country Road Suspense, which is one of my favorites. I play it every year, and it's the last one I play because it is absolutely the scariest
and
favorite.
It's the best.
Right?
It is the best. Yeah. Yeah, it is. Suspense on a Country Road is the best.
Cary Grant
and Kathy Lewis, and then Jeanette Nolan is the crazy woman in there.
Oh, it's a fantastic. Yeah. And then we're going to try to get a little Cubs pumped up at the end of the show, and we got Pat Brickhouse.
Oh, great.
Yeah. We were going to have Vince Vaughn, when he called, his people called or emailed and pitched and said, hey, we want to do something on Saturday, and then he got way too busy.
Yeah, well.
For you?
For WGN,
he'll come back and do it.
Believe me, it's
show.
WGN that sells it, not the Dave Player Show. Yeah. But he did a lot of national stuff today, so we got bumped, unfortunately. But we're going to have fun
get
anyway.
Him again.
Well, next time I'm on your show, I'm going to tell my ghost story.
Okay.
Because I definitely saw a ghost. And I also know very good friends with a witch. By the way, here's your broom, Lisa.
I wish I could fly on it, Carl.
Is my mother-in-law listening?
You know what? He's a little edgy tonight, Dave.
I'm just telling you. Edgy is an edgy, fun edgy.
But you're Glinda.
Not fun,
you're the
edgy.
Beautiful
angry?
Witch, Lisa. You're the beautiful.
Wow. Called you
Glinda.
A witch.
He's climbing
the
out of
him in the ass right on the way out of here.
He's having some little issues with the Cubs loss tonight.
I'm a
Our listeners
bummed
are
out about
noting
the Cubs.
His pissiness.
Yeah, you want to throw stuff a little bit, don't you? Pissiness.
Lisa, it's family show here.
I think I'm okay.
Thanks to Elif Garris, and thank you, Lisa. Here's your broom.
I'll take it.
And Roger, thank you for all your help. You have to stay tuned for Dave Plyer. He's next.